Bibles and turn to Hebrews 12, a couple of familiar passages, Hebrews 12 and Galatians chapter 6. And some simple exhortation tonight, a reminder of some things. Just Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Wearied and faint. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Weariness and fainting. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us to have a part in the work of what you're doing. And, Father, we've labored here for a long time in fields that have not borne the kind of fruit that we would have wished. But still, it's an honor to labor here. I pray, Father, that you'll give your people tonight, raise their heads and their eyes up above the horizon, and may they see a pure vision of what is left to be done before we get out of here soon enough. Tonight wouldn't be soon enough for us, Father, but Lord, we just long to see you. But we know that the days may yet drag on for a while. We have no guesses particularly as to how long. But you, as long as you leave us here, then we're here for the duration. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us. May you just simply remind us of some things tonight. This is not particularly deep, and I hope to not be particularly long. We're going to sit for 4 or 5 nights in a row, Lord, under somebody that's prepared. And we've longed to hear him. We prayed about it and fasted about it. So we pray that you might just help put the cap on top of the bottle here for just tonight for our part. And may we look forward to this week a little bit later on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the two passages on weariness, warning against weariness and fainting. One of those passages likened to a race. And the Bible often does that. It's often likened to a war as well. Paul said, "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air." And of course, in Galatians chapter 6 on sowing, that's a field, that's a crop sown, that's a farmer, that's a husbandman, that sort of thing. And Christianity is full right now of runners who are weary of racing, and fighters that are weary of fighting, and farmers that are weary of the planting and the hoeing and the seasonal shifts and all those sort of things. And that danger is recognized by the Lord, and that danger is recognized by this apostle here that's writing to us. He said, you got to be careful lest you be wearied and faint in your minds and you quit. You get tired and you lay down and decide to quit. As we talked about here this morning in Sunday school, and for that matter, church too, the primary battle that you face really resides within your own heart. It's not so much the outward sin. It's not so much the world. It's the debate that you have within yourself. And in that case, you need to have self-rule or self-rules. I mean, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. Most of us have been around for long enough to have seen some casualties. Everybody here knows the names of Christians that got a decent start and either early bailed out of their Christian lives or went for a while and for one reason or another wearied and fainted in their minds and faded out of the fight. And now, not to say they can't be returned or recover themselves, but to say that right now they're protecting nobody's flank. They're not standing back to back with anybody and fighting for Jesus Christ on anything. And again, a lot of us could go to people's doors who are like that right now. I'm not disparaging them. I'm just saying the fact that you know fallen comrades who have suffered casualties should give you warning that this is a really, it's a real fight. They weary of the grind. They get tired. They get fed up. And discouragement somewhere sets in. And again, there's so many that we could go down the list and see that have done that very thing. I find a couple of things of interest to start with here in the passages. Galatians 6 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." Now, that's an interesting phraseology. Because I'll tell you this, when I still played football in high school football in Texas, we had end the summer with two-a-days in the Texas sun. It's still 100 degrees out there. And I promise you, after you've had two-a-days and football practice, you come home tired regardless of what you desire to do. You're tired, period. If you're going to cut wood and split logs and stack and stuff, you're going to be tired at the end. You're going to be weary at the end of the day. It's interesting that in this case it says, "Let us not be weary." Now, if you're doing that kind of work, if you're doing grunt labor, you're going to be tired. You're going to be weary. So this must be something different. It says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't let yourself be weary. You choose in these cases to be weary. You accept fainting as a possibility. Another thought along those lines is, "Lest ye be wearied and faint," in Hebrews 12, "in your minds." And again, that's where this battle is fought out. It's not all just mind games, but you decide in your mind whether you will go on or not. And you draw a line in the sand when you become discouraged and say, I'm just not going any further," and you lay down and you refuse to get up. And the Bible says that's your responsibility. You're never too tired. You're never too wearied. You're instructed not to be too wearied. You're instructed not to faint. You can go on. You say, "Well, I just can't." Yes, you can. Yes, you can, and you should. You have to appreciate those who have stayed in the fight for a long time and finished it out under less than perfect circumstances. We are not fleet-footed racers. Can you tell? This is not a marathoner's body. Lonnie's got a marathoner's body, but not Brother Stephen and not Brother Jensen. Sorry. And with a slightly aging congregation now, a bunch of you edging up into middle age, let's just put it that way, you're not going to be running any marathons probably, and you're not elite special forces either. No, the fact of the matter is we're not high flyers. We're plodders, aren't we? And about the best you can do is just plug on and button up and just keep on pulling. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." There's some things that you can grow weary in. And you can do the Bible study as well as I can do it. I wanted to just have a few words of encouragement tonight that here you are in perilous times, the last days, and folks, they're dropping out right and left. And I hope that you won't. And I just want to admonish you that if you do, it's because you choose to. Because according to these passages, the choice is ours. There was that group of men that came back with David from the battle and found their wives and their stuff taken. And there was an entire section of those men that were literally too weary to go on. I preached about that some time back. Okay, I'm sorry, that's not you. You have the opportunity to go on if you won't faint in your minds. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. You don't have to be weary. You can get frustrated once in a while and say, well, I'm just tired of rah, rah, rah. Well, just don't get weary and faint, because you choose that. Let me say, first of all, and this first passage I wish to take you to does not have the word weary or faint in it, but nonetheless, it seemed appropriate. Take your Bible, turn back to Isaiah 55. I'd like to talk to you about what you can grow weary of in the Christian life, period. But, you know, when you stop and consider how late we are in this day and this age, and the night is far spent, the day is at hand, it is all the more the case. Isaiah chapter 55, and again, the word weary is not in this. But notice starting in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then, for my thoughts, God's thoughts, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, and it may that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. But importantly, verse 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I was led to say this, then. One thing you can grow weary of is how God does stuff. God's ways. The fact that so often, left to yourself, you won't agree with Him at all. You won't agree with how He does things at all. You won't agree with His timing. You won't agree with His methods. You know why? Because He's smarter than you are. And He's above you. And you're not likely to understand of yourself. And something you can grow truly weary of, and I think of, go back and think of all the times that Moses must have thought he knew exactly what God was going to do now, and God did something else. Think of all the men through history that thought they had found the secret for when the rapture would be, when the kingdom would come, etc., etc., and how often they were wrong. You know why? Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. When He causes you trial and trouble and leaves you crying on your bed at night and you're sick, and not just tired, but you're sick and tired and truly sick, you can say, why, oh God, why? Because it doesn't make sense to you. But then it doesn't have to make sense to you, because He doesn't owe you an explanation. Sometimes He's gracious and gives you one. And you get a hint, and maybe even a full-fledged reason of why you're going through what you're going through. But the fact of the matter is, there's an awful lot of folks that have fainted by the way because they've grown weary of God's things. I mean, most books aren't written like this book. Most books don't treat their readers like your book treats its readers. The way God does things, the way God speaks to His children, the way He leaves them with questions that are not readily answered, it can be a wearied thing, and so many people have faded out because they want the answer and they've not put in the blood and the sweat and the prayer to get the answer, and the Lord didn't show them. But I just would warn you that one thing that you can grow weary of in this life is, why, oh, why, oh, why did God do this that way and choose this guy there and choose to send me here and do this to me and take my child and do that to him, etc., etc.? And maybe you'll never have an answer till the judgment seat of Christ. But you can, if you're not careful, a guy gets frustrated and a mother gets heartbroken over things. And you can allow those emotions to run off with you and grow weary and faint in your mind, because you choose finally to say, Lord, and here's what you say, Lord, I'm fed up. I'm fed up, and I'm done, because you don't make any sense to me. And brother, the day you do that, you can go on your way, and He'll let you. He really will. Folks, let me admonish you. Don't be weary in the way God does things. Don't grow weary in how the Lord treats you. Because everybody here knows doctrinally it's best this way. I don't say that lightly. I've had a stroke, right? There are folks in this room that have wrestled cancer, and more than one. There's somebody here wrestling it tonight. There are folks here that have suffered loss and been to funeral homes and hospitals and all these sort of things. Some folks have had to come off the field for a while, all sorts of things. You say, why, oh, why, oh, why? You can drive yourself nuts with that. If you're not careful, you can grow weary and faint in that thing. Now, let me show you something else as well. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And again, anybody can do this Bible study, so I don't presume to have a deep insight into any of it that some of you wouldn't have. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I need to start reading a little bit earlier than the verse that I want. Notice verse 6, let's start there. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. So there's going to be Christians that walk disorderly. I'm going to get into all that tonight, but and not after the tradition which ye received of us, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor. There's labor and travail. There's travail. Night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. He's worried about being chargeable. Verse 9, worried about not being a freeloader. Verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. Burdened about the ministry, burdened about being the right kind of ensample, an example to these people, an ensample, a Christian thing to these people. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Verse 12, now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But brethren, be not weary in well-doing. What's the context of all that? You know what the context of that weary and well-doing is? Working and paying bills. Working and paying bills. That's what the context was. You people need to work your own work and pay your bills and take care of stuff. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. Now look, folks, we have a tendency in America to have this. We have a couple of quirks as Americans that are not good. There for a while, patriotism was equated with Christianity, and that's not right. But the other thing is that because of our heritage, because of where we came from, many of our progenitors came from other countries who came here for a chance at a new start, the so-called American dream. And so you still hear that old American dream thing all the time. It's probably possible, that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, we tend to glorify that and think that everybody should have an opportunity to retire at 55 to their favorite place somewhere with a bunch of money in the bank, and there they get to leisurely and luxuriously go about their business as old people, a walking fifi, or doing whatever you do in retirement. And please don't misunderstand, I'm not cursing or denigrating retirement or anything, but sometimes the American dream is misleading because you're led to think that if you get a job at 30 or 35 and work your life away, that you should be able to retire and have a pension and everything's hunky-dory and you and your wife can go and do something on some warm beach somewhere for the last 10 or 15 years of your life. And ladies and gentlemen, that's just not true. Fact of the matter is, having food and raiment, let's be there with content. It's a falsehood to necessarily think that God owes all of us a bank full of money and all the benefits in the world. It's just, that's not right. The fact of the matter is, what you can grow weary in this life is just putting up with the Edenic curse and having to go to work and feed your mouth every day and just barely scraping by with bills. And about the time you get the new hot water heater paid off, the tranny goes out in your vehicle. And about the time you get that squared away, you start having to look at a new roof. And it just goes on and on and on. Who doesn't know that doesn't happen? And sometimes you just sit and look at two projects that need to be done next week, and you go, I don't know where the money's going to come from. I'm so sick of this. You can grow weary. You can grow weary in just working and paying bills. The mundane, everyday ins and outs of life like that. There's a bondage in this life. It started in that garden we talked about this morning, where a man's supposed to make his way by the sweat of his brow. And if you don't have to sweat at your job, praise the Lord, I have no problem. If you're retired and have so much money in the bank you can't spend it all, help yourself. But the average Christian should not think that's going to be his lot, because the chances are slim. I just wish to say that there are times that, you know, we get tired of that mundane portion of life. Like I said this morning, Joseph, since he was 12 years old, so wanted to work at Subway so bad he could hardly, you know, stand it. And after he'd worked there 2 weeks, he was like, eh. You know? And that's the way it is. That's the way an awful lot of life is. And if you're not careful, you can grow weary of that, and it'll affect how you approach your Christianity. Just working. Paying bills. Sometimes the dream of independent wealth and uninterrupted leisure and luxury is just a humanistic desire to escape the curse. And until you leave this joint, you're still under that Edenic curse. It's the way life goes, and there's always going to be money problems, and there's always going to be health problems, and you're going to always have tears to cry. And you can grow weary of it. And if you're not careful, one day you might just say, you know what, I'm fed up with this. And so, Lord, I'm done. Don't do that. You're too close to the end to do that. You've lasted this long. Now part of what motivates me is, I know it. If I quit today, the rapture's tomorrow. That's what happens. It's just the weirdest thing. I was waiting on my wife yesterday at the house because, you know, she'd gone to do something and I needed to run an errand and no problem. So I was kind of waiting for her to get home. It wasn't a big deal. But I said, I know as soon as I drive out, she's going to drive in. And sure enough, as soon as I drove out, when I got back, she was there. Say, was it a big deal? Not at all. But that's how my life goes. And I know if I quit, the Lord's coming back tomorrow. I mean, as soon as I lay down, he's here. Bam! Trumpet sounds. And oh, man. As soon as I go back to smoking, I'm going to get raptured with a cigarette in my hand. I'm just kidding. Let us not be weary. Weary in just working, paying bills, taking care of the mundane matters of life. Take your Bibles, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. Get fed up with it. Better watch out. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Notice verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the flesh. Much study, he says, is a weariness to the flesh. So study will weary you. Now here's the problem, if it's a problem. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I know you know this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Much study is a weariness to the flesh. But you got to study to show thyself approved to God. Maybe if you don't study enough for the answer to show yourself approved to God, maybe the Lord doesn't give you an answer. Maybe the answer to prayer that you're seeking, you don't get if you don't study the Bible well enough to have an inclination to understand why the Lord may have put you through what He's putting you through and why He's looking for certain things in your life before He gives you an answer. You may just never get the answer. Study. Much study is a weariness to the flesh, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was reminded this week, there's been something, I'm not going to tell you what it is tonight. If you want to ask me later, you can ask me. It's no big deal. There's been a doctrinal quirk thing that I've wrestled with in a sentence or two of the Bible for as long as I've been in the ministry. I've known that if I understood it the way I was reading it, that I wasn't sure what to do with it. The Lord gave me the answer this week. Man, it's satisfying. It's like, whoa, what kind of moron am I for not having seen it before? I don't know. I've never read the answer anywhere else, so it's like, man alive, I was a moron. It's been there. It's been right there. It's been right there in the wording. But, folks, I've been wrestling with that thing for 20 years. I read through that passage and teach y'all the passage, and I know I taught the passage right, but there was a bothersome thing there that kind of didn't ring true, and it was like, man, no worry, I didn't change my doctrine. I'm just saying, it's nice to get an answer. It's nice to have studied and said, God, after all these years, would you please show me the answer? He says, yeah, here. That's cool. It's cool. But much study is a weariness of the flesh. If you're not careful, you'll fall out of the Bible. If you're not careful, you'll quit praying. And if you're not careful, you'll quit studying the Bible. You might check your boxes. But as far as listening to the Word of God and studying it for what you need, if you're not careful, you'll grow weary and it'll grow cold. And you'll get distant. And one day you show up before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord says, so how'd you feel about my book? Oh, I believe the King James Bible, that's for sure. I know that, but how do you really feel about it? Because you didn't read it too much the last few years of your life. I would hate to grow weary in that. You know why? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 along this line. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you leave your Bible, you're going to have a problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, go down to verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, 13. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. There's fainting. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. When you don't renew the inward man, when you're reading your Bible and nothing's getting refreshed, nothing's getting renewed, the thirst isn't quenched, you're not getting anything, you need to go back and read again because you need to be renewed day by day. Steady. And much study is a weariness to the flesh. You can get tired of it. You can get tired of the same old stories. I don't have to read this paragraph, this section of 8 verses very carefully because I know it by heart. As soon as you do that, the Lord's got something to show you there you haven't seen yet. It's just always that way. Let me show you something else. Look in Hebrews 12. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. things that you can faint in. Just working and paying bills, just mundane things. Study. The Lord's way of doing things in general. And I'll tell you something else, and this is very evident. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." I'll tell you what you can get fed up with. And to be honest with you, I would tell you that I'm tired of it. Tired of striving against sin. Just tired of that thing always being there. I mean, don't you ever get fed up with it? Don't you get tired of striving against? It's just always there. Every time I put it away, it rises back up. Sins that troubled me when I was 20 still trouble me at 55. It's just always there. And the strife is something that has to be faced every single day. And because you keep coming back to those same humiliating sins, it's humiliating itself. And that you have to keep getting on the floor in the morning saying, "Oh God, here I am again over the same thing." You can get tired of that. You can faint in that. And many have. Many folks fight something for a while and decide they can't beat it for good. They have misconceptions about what victory is, and they think they should be delivered a charismatic type victory where ping and it's gone and you never have to face it again. And that's not reality. I'll tell you right now, as far as being a Christian 45 years, that's not reality. You're going to have to fight for the ground that you take. If the Lord grants by grace some victory in some sin somewhere and you never have to face it again, that's a blessing. But it's not going to be that way with the multitude of your sins. That striving against sin is something that happens day in and day out. And right now you have a Christianity that's swiftly moving away. I talked to somebody this morning, Nancy Humphreys, and she's got a friend bugging her, trying to get her to go to, you know, one of those churches, because our church is a Pharisaical church because of the King James Bible and hard preaching and all that kind of stuff. You need to go somewhere where there are no Pharisees and rah, 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 rah. All that kind of thing. They're not going to draw the line. They're just going to keep compromising everything down. So pretty soon there's no Bible at all, if there is any now. There's no place to stop. Where are you going to stop and draw the line? And the answer is that they're not. They've already gone for adultery. They've already gone for homosexuality. They've already gone for women ministers. They've already gone for rock and roll. It's okay to commit adultery in their congregation. Where are you going to stop now? You didn't stop there. I mean, it's a pain to strive against sin. It's a pain to draw a line and say, "I'm not crossing here." But you have to do it. And one thing that you can grow weary in is that constant strife. Again, the idealistic, romantic view of victory. It's not realistic. You're going to probably fight the sins of the flesh that you have tonight for the rest of the way, for the rest of this journey. That's more truth than fiction. But strife over sin. Brother, get up in the morning and fight the fight. If you feel sorry for yourself, kick yourself in the rear end and move. And if you're subject to discouragement easily and subject to depression easily, then nobody's going to take care of it but you. Who else is there? You say, "Well, Jesus is supposed to take care of it." And how would he do that? What more could he do? He's told you the secret. Mortify the deeds of the body. Put off the old man. Put on the new. But you're going to have to strive against a sin. It's easy to grow weary. It's easy in your mind to say, "Okay, I'm done. I've been down in this now time and time and time again. And so I'm done. Well, you shouldn't be, because you chose to be done. You weren't defeated by it. It didn't come and swarm you. It didn't crush you into the earth. You decided to quit. You said, okay, I'm done. I tell you something else. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Just general things, the Lord's way of doing things. Working and paying bills. Study. Striving against sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And go down to verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was a stone. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold, in nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And Paul said, I know what carrying a load is. And he did. And he said back in verse 27, in weariness and painfulness. In weariness of what, Paul? In weariness, just being in peril. Just being constantly in conflict. Just being constantly in strife. And somebody's always trying to kill him. And somebody's always trying to sink him. And the devil's always trying to stomp him here. Now, you know, don't get a Pauline complex here. But the fact of the matter is, it is peril. I mean, we live in perilous times. And all you have to do is walk outside the door and look around and you'll find something that'll kill you if you're not careful. Man, you have on your waistband probably a little machine. And that thing will kill you if you let it. I mean, there's stuff on there that'll take you down in the pits of hell if you weren't saved. And if you are saved, it'll take you down where you're useless. And my point, folks, is that it's just all... Don't you get tired if you... I mean, my kids are grown now. And, you know, Joseph is still young enough. And so, you know, we're still praying that things go right there. But those of you with young kids, I mean, I'm not trying to discourage you. But you'd be really dumb not to look around and say, boy, I got my work cut out for me. Because you are surrounded by perils. And your marriage abides in perils. We live in perilous times. It's the latter days. And you know what you can grow weary of? And people do. And so somebody stands up and is always ringing the bell and you know, turning the handle on the siren and saying, you better watch out, you better watch out, you better watch out for that, and you better watch out for that, and you better be careful about that. And folks get tired of it. And like Nancy told me this morning, so a friend says, you know, Eunice, you should go to another church. Because all they're doing there is just negative. It's just negative. Well, I look around and it's all negative. So, I just preach negative. But you can get sick of it. And people do. And so people say, well, I want to go get something else. I'm going to go somewhere where they'll slather me in whipped cream. And I love Jesus and he loves me and that's all I need to know. And that's not all you need to know. It's not all you need to know. I'd like to point out a couple other things real fast. Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 3, back to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3, first. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Now, being corrected, weary of correction. Played high school football, and we'd get out there, of course, two-a-days at the end of August and all that, and my coaches were not touchy-feely. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be, and if you're one, maybe you should be more so than mine were, but mine were not. And I mean, some of us, to hear them tell it, couldn't do anything right. No, that's wrong. Do it this way. Right, right. Everything, every time I put my hand to do something. No, do this and like that. And I've seen guys my size, after weeks of that treatment, break down and sob like little girls. They just get weary, just get tired of being hammered all the time and corrected. Coach George and Coach Frierson. Man, Coach Frierson dipped a half a can of Copenhagen at a time and would get in your face and spit all over you, bawling you out. I'm not saying that you should do that as a Christian. I'm saying that that's what happened. My point, folks, is, you know, they were very quick and very assertive in correction. You know, something Nancy said this morning, it was encouraging to me. And she just said, there are times that I come here and I feel like people have spied on me and told you all my secrets. And it's hard to hear some things that you say. I said, Nancy, you have to know I'm not picking on you, don't you? She said, yeah. She said, I know, but she said, and then I realized that I need to hear everything that you're saying. Oh, if there were only some folks that had come to that conclusion in the last few years. Because a lot of folks, I just want to say, one thing that's easy to do is, I mean, you should take what the Lord says to you personally, but you can't think that somebody's picking on you unless it's the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, what you can get weary in real fast is being corrected. Now, it's phrased differently in Hebrews 12 by a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12, and go down to verse 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Rebuke. Rebuke is tough. Rebuke is not always gentle. My point, folks, is that you're going to be told continually how to run your life. In fact, you'll be told what thoughts to think. Not by me, by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is very intrusive. And it tells you before you start thinking something that it's wrong to think that. So don't even think that way. It anticipates your thoughts. Stop thinking that. I mean, it's intrusive. And all I can say is that I'm not much of a smile, God loves you type guy. But in this case, I can truly say, getting whipped, smile. God loves you. Because that's where this thing belongs. And you can thank God that you don't have to live 900 years like Adam in this body with this old man, right? You may stretch it out to 90 or 100, but thank God I don't have to live like this for 900 years. Some of you are looking at me funny. You see, you have a death wish. No, I don't really, but I have a rapture wish. Galatians chapter 6. God not doing things the way you would, just working and paying bills, study, strife against sin, being in peril, in conflict, in strife all the time, being corrected all the time. Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And said back in verse 8, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." You know, something you can get tired of doing is sowing. You sow and sow and sow, and sometimes it seems like a crop doesn't come up. I told you some time back that I believe the Lord truly, genuinely, deeply dealt with me before coming to Minnesota, that I was going to pastor in a place where you sowed and sowed and sowed, and not a lot would come up, at least not that I would see. And that's worked out kind of to be the case. And if that's the case in the latter days, and it is in an awful lot of places, I talk to folks in a lot of places where, you know, guys that have been in the ministry for as long as me or longer sometimes have churches even smaller than our church. And so, you know, I have to be thankful for what I have. But I just want to say one thing that you can do, you can get weary of sowing and sowing and sowing. It just never seems to be much that comes up. Look at us. We rejoice when we feel like somebody at a doorstep got under conviction. Yes, yes, yes. Successful day. I mean, there was a day that I would have considered that a complete failure. And, you know, I had a brief hiatus in the Hiles crowd. And so if you didn't win five or six to the Lord in an hour, you were way behind. You were unspiritual. Well, if it's taking five or six a week, then I really am unspiritual, because doesn't happen for me, right? So what's the point? Well, you can get weary of sowing. Sow and sow and sow. You know, I think, though, about that scenario. Here you have Jesus Christ shows up in Samaria, meets the woman at the well, and then after talking to her, she goes back and he says, "Look, the fields are white unto harvest. Here they come." They're all barreling, just rolling out of the city. But, you know, it wasn't always that way in Samaria. There was a day all the way back in 2 Kings 17. And that was in 750 now BC. In 750 BC, the Assyrians carried off the 10 northern tribes. And when they repopulated the land, they found that the Lord had sent in a bunch of lions to kill people. And somebody said, the reason they're doing that is because you don't know the gods of the land. And so the king sent a priest, a Jewish priest of the Levites, back into the land to teach people the manner of the God of the land. And that priest came back in and started teaching people. And of course, a lot of them still sacrificed to all their gods and everything else. But he just made a little bit of headway. And I just wonder what his life must have been like. Here he's trying to minister to a bunch of backslidden Israelites, crossbred, sorry for the phraseology, with a bunch of imported Assyrians, trying to make headway spiritually in this situation. And in 750 BC, that's what he's doing. And finally, in 30 or 31 AD, the crop comes up. And I mean, the fields are wide unto harvest. Look at them rolling out of that city. The boy, folks, that was nearly 800 years worth of a season of growth before that harvest was ready. And so I've always taken comfort in that. I don't know about you. I'm not busted up when I go door knocking or street preaching and it seems like nothing much happens. Because I know the word shall not return void. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know a better way of doing it. I don't know of a better way of putting out the Word of God than that. But you can sure grow weary in it. Some of you probably aren't going to visitation because you're tired of having the door slammed in your face. Well, I'm telling you, you live in a place where you're going to sow a lot more than you reap. At least on this side. I don't know how it all works out on the other side. But I'll tell you this. If you grow weary in sowing, you ain't going to reap much. And so you better sow all that you can. You should not be weary. And if you decide, no, I'm tired of it, then fine. I can't help it. But it's not wise. And you shouldn't. Look at one more place here. Psalm 69, then we'll be done. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come unto deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I guess he's in trouble, huh? I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. He said back in verse 3, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. Down in verse 6, he says, let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed. You know what you can grow sick and tired of? It's waiting. Maybe it's waiting on a harvest, like I said with sowing. It's easy to get discouraged, and you think of all the people that expected Jesus Christ to come back in their lifetimes, and he didn't. And it's easy to say, man, Paul expected Jesus Christ to come back, and the generation after them, and the generation after them, and the generation after them, we're no different than they are. It's easy to say, okay, I'm done. I'm tired of the disappointment. I'm tired of living and hoping in this fairy tale. I just want to let you know, it's not a fairy tale. Those Jews waited what seemed to them like forever before the Messiah came. And even then, they missed him. I want you to know, it's going to happen like the Bible says it's going to happen. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to wait on it. You're just going to have to wait. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You can grow weary of waiting, but you're going to wait nonetheless. Let us not be weary. Let us not be faint in our minds. You control whether you grow weary in these things. You control whether you faint. Yeah, I've fainted a couple times when I injured myself and just the way the body processes pain or whatever. I've conked out a couple times, and I couldn't help it. Couldn't help that. I tried. When I broke my kneecap last January and the wrist and the elbow, after I fell, I, of course, being the man that I am, got back up and fainted. So wound up with a sore tailbone as well. But this fainting, this weariness, you control, as we said at the start. You don't have to faint. You don't have to be weary. So let us not be weary. Let's pray. Now, Father, we pray you'd strengthen.